Good morning. I'd like to invite you to open up your Bibles to Psalm chapter 19. There will be our study, our text for study this morning. Definitely so thankful and grateful for this opportunity to stand before you this Lord's Day and to present a message from God's Word. So thankful and grateful for this, beautiful day. And for this morning's lesson, as we look at Psalm 19, it's been a while now whenever I taught part of this chapter in a class that we had here on a Wednesday night, and I said at that point in time I'll try to return to this text and study it out further and complete some of the thoughts there. And that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to look at Psalm chapter 19. But as I went through that class that evening, all we did is we really looked at verses 7 through, the goal was to get through 11. And I didn't feel like I did a very good job of laying out the whole psalm. It's not a very big psalm. It's only 14 verses. And so I thought it would be very beneficial for us to go through and lay out this psalm and look at this psalm as a whole. And then bringing in verses 7 through 14 and really getting into this idea of the power and value of God's Word. Because that's what we were talking about that night. The different things we see in verses 7 through 11 in the power and the ability that it has to change lives. And so to start off this morning, what I want to do is first read through the psalm, and then we'll go back through and kind of lay out the way the psalm breaks down. So if you will, Psalm chapter 19, we'll read the entire psalm. Starting in verse 1, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them He has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Its rising is from one end of heaven, and its circuit is to the other end, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise and simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true, righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, in keeping them there is great reward. Who can understand His errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless. I shall be innocent. Great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." Such a beautiful, beautiful psalm that we have here from David. And while, yes, we sing Psalm 19 regularly, especially as it is in our hymn books, laying out there 7 through 11, you really get the power of what God is saying through David here in this psalm whenever you lay out the whole psalm. And the first thing that we see is in verses 1 through 6. Psalm 19, verses 1 through 6, what we really see is God's glory and power. David going through and he's talking about God's glory and power, the heavens, the firmament, day and night, sun, they all prove God is. And not only do they prove that God is, but it is not hidden from anybody. We see in verse 3 that there is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. The heavens, the firmament, the work of God can be seen by all. This isn't something that's just for the children of Israel. It's not just for Christians. All can see God's power. All can see God's might. And it is evident just by looking. Yes, we can go through studies on evidences, and while I believe those are very beneficial, Southside Church of Christ in Blue Springs just had a youth lectures where they went through a study of evidences with Joshua Gertler, and it was really well done, and it's very powerful. But just looking out and seeing God's creation, you can see the power that is there. It's one of the things that David is noticing. can look out, you can see this, and it is evident to all. It's not hidden from anybody. It doesn't matter what language you speak. It doesn't matter where you're from. You can see God is. You can see His power and glory in His creation. David then goes on from there and talks about the power and value of God's Word. So he recognizes that you can see and just look out and see God's creation and God's power there, and that God has revealed Himself, His knowledge through His Word. That God, that Creator that has created all things, has revealed Himself to man through His Word. And as we talked about, been about a month and a half ago, on that Wednesday night in class, you can see what God's Word does and the power and value that it has. It has the power to convert souls. It makes wise the simple, rejoices the heart. It enlightens the eyes, which is a light into our path, a lamp into our feet. The judgments and ordinances are true and righteous altogether. And not only that, but David recognizes that having a fear for the Lord, having a reverence for God, endures forever. It's clean and it endures forever. That reverence for God, and not only that He is and He is the Creator of all things, but a reverence for His Word. It's clean and it endures forever. He recognizes that having that reverence for God is something that is not just going to get you through the next few days or through the next month, but it is stability. That fear and that reverence for God's Word and taking it and making application to your life is going to be something that's lasting. And the power and value behind that. So many times people look for different things where they can, you know, get this, it might be a spiritual high, but just feeling good about yourself. David said, here's the thing about the Lord. If you are reverent towards Him and understand His law, understand His Word and what it can do for you and the power and value behind it, it's going to have a lasting effect on you, not just a temporal effect. Consistency, stability, longevity, not just a temporal thing for a short period of time. This thing endures forever. And David gets into verses 10 and 11 talking about the fact that because of this, we see the value and power of God's Word. This thing needs to be desired. It needs to be valued above all else. Above gold. It's sweeter than honey in the honeycomb. It is something that we need to desire and to want. Because, as he says in verse 11, through your word, your servant is warned. And in keeping your word, keeping your law, there's great value that is found. You can obtain and achieve reward. David doesn't just stop there. He then goes into the next part of the psalm. And I think there in verse 11 what we see is kind of a connection or a transition, if you will. This is God's Word. This is God's power. This is God's Word revealed to man. This is His will revealed to man. It has power and value. And through it, we're warned. And in keeping them, there is great reward. And so what does David do? And 12 through 14, looking to God and His Word to help him be acceptable. David recognizes, God, I can just look out and see the fact through your creation that you are. I can see your glory and power. And you have revealed your will to man, that all-powerful, all-knowing God has revealed Himself to man through His Word. And in keeping your Word, that is how I can cleanse myself. Lord, I've been warned through your word that I am in error. Because I am error, I need to cleanse myself. Please, cleanse me from my secret faults. And as he gets into verse 14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Lord, help me to be acceptable to you. But we recognize as we bring all this together that the way that we become acceptable to God is that we recognize not only that He is the Creator and how great His power is in creation, that Creator revealed His will to us through His Word and the power and value that is there in that Word to change our life and make us acceptable to God. David's laying out here, that's what he's talking about. And so as we think about this morning, this psalm as a whole, and the power and value of God's Word, let us make application to ourselves. Tried to do this thing where I am the cool guy like Jared Brunger and put it on my belt and it ain't working. I think, Harry, you put it on your belt too, don't you? No, you don't know. Now it's going to be dangling and I'll probably be hitting it all morning. So I'll try not to distract anybody. My apologies. If you saw me, I kept reaching back here. So let us make application this morning of this psalm to our life. The first thing that I want to point out, and there are many different applications you can bring out, but these are some of the things and thoughts that I have as I go through this beautiful psalm of David. God's Word comes from the Creator. And I think this is foundational. One of the reasons why David starts here with this, recognizing and noticing the power of God, because it is foundational. God's Word doesn't come from just some man. It comes from the Creator. It comes from the One that we can just look out at what He created, what He did, and see His power, His might, His glory. Genesis 1:1 says, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth." And like I said earlier, we can go through a study. It's not the point this morning. But we can go through a study laying out and talking about God's creation and having evidences and proving those points and all those types of things. But as David said, you can look out and you can see the fact that God is the Creator. And we read in Genesis 1:1 that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The design, the intelligence that we see out there, the order. The fact that everything works together. Again, as we talked about earlier, all can see this. All can see that God is the Creator. You know, that's one of the things that in Acts chapter 17, whenever Paul is teaching those in Athens, he relays to them. He tells them, starting in verse 24, "God, who made the world and everything in it, since He is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is He worshipped with men's hands as though He needed anything, since He gives all to all life, breath, and all things. And He has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their preappointed times, the boundaries of their dwellings." And then in verse 28, "For in Him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your poets have said, for we are His offspring." In this section of Scripture, Paul, talking to those in Athens, he recognizes that there's the statue of the unknown God. And he tells them, that's the one that I proclaim to you. Recognize the God that I proclaim to you is the God that made all things. So in the beginning was God, and He created the heavens and the earth. The God that is proclaimed in Athens, the God is proclaimed this morning, is He who made all things. And not only that, but as 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17 says, we have the words of God in our hand. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instructions in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. We have the words of God in our hands. Contrary to what some out there believe, these are the actual words of God. It is God-breathed. It is inspired. It comes directly from God. It's not that God took His thoughts, gave it to man, and then man just wrote down whatever he wanted. No, these are the exact words of God. And that is extremely important to understand. It's one of the things that David understood. God is the Creator of all things. He is the One who we can see His glory and power in creation, and He revealed His will to man. And whenever He revealed His will, it is exactly what He wanted said. So whenever you read the Bible, whenever we read our Scriptures, we are not reading the thoughts of a man. We are reading the exact words that God wanted revealed to us. and so in understanding this, if God is, as David starts off, God is, and we can see His glory and power, and this is His revealed word, word for word inspiration, what does that mean to us? God is, and then this is His word that has been revealed to us. What does that mean for us? What that means is I'm going to allow the words of God to direct my life. Whatever is said in Scripture, whatever we have written down here, this is what is going to direct my life. David understood this. God is, and this is His revealed word. As a result, I need to adhere to it. Through Your word, verse 11 to Psalm 19, it is through them that Your servant is warned. And in keeping them, there is great reward. Not through my thoughts, not through what somebody else thinks, but through what You say, Your servant is warned. And in keeping them, there is great reward. Again, we are not reading a book that is written by mere men. This is a book that comes from God Himself, the Creator of the heavens and the earth. And if I'm going to listen to anybody, any being there is, I'm going to listen to God. Not going to listen to my favorite comedian, my favorite coach if you're an athlete, my favorite teacher if you're a student, maybe it's my boss, my parents. I'm going to listen to God and allow God's word to direct my life. Some of those we come into contact with and some of those we think highly of might be instructing us with the words of God. We can allow that to direct our life. But we allow God's word to direct our life, nothing else. And I tell you something else what this means. Is this means I'm going to get out of the way and allow God's word to direct my life. I say that because there are a lot of people out there that whenever they read Scripture, they come into reading Scripture with a preconceived idea of this is what God's trying to tell me. And so what ends up happening is they take that preconceived idea and they read through Scripture and they make themselves and then teach others that Acts 2:38 does not teach baptism is essential for the remission of sins. You can do it if you want to. You do that with any section of Scripture where people go through and do that sort of thing. What you do is you don't take your preconceived thoughts and ideas and insert it into God's Word. You allow God's Word to guide and direct your life. Psalm 119, verse 105. Pretty popular verse here. Says, Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Your word is a lamp to your feet. Not, hey, your word and then whatever I preconceived your word to mean that's a lamp to my feet, but whatever you say is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. It's very important that we understand that. It's one of the things that David understood. Your word is what's going to guide me and direct me in my life, not my preconceived ideas being thrown into your word. I don't put my ideas into God's Word. I let God's Word direct my life. See, so many times we see people that want to change God's Word instead of letting God's Word change them. That's the wrong way to go about it. And that's one of the things that David recognized. David recognized, through Your Word, I am warned. And Your Word is telling me that I need to be cleansed. I need to make myself right. So please, Lord, cleanse me. Make me blameless. And understand if there is a God, this is His revealed will, I will approach it with reverence, and I will let it guide my life, and I will let it change me. And it is only then that we will see the power and value of God's Word. Because if you were trying to insert your own ideas into it, or if you were trying to, one, if you just don't let God's Word guide and direct your life, but if you were trying to insert your ideas into it instead of let God's Word shine forth and show you the way, you're never going to realize the power and value of God's Word because it's no longer His Word. You've taken, twisted, and it's now Your Word. Not only that, but we also see from David and from this song that God's word is to be desired. God's word is to be desired. Whenever you look at the power behind God's word, and we see there in verses 7 through 9 what it does, well, what it is, and then what it does. God's word is perfect, and it converts the soul. It is sure. It makes wise the simple. It is right, and it rejoices the heart. It is pure, and it enlightens the eyes. It is fair and clean. It endures forever, and the judgments are true and righteous altogether. The perfect revealed will of God, which is what we have at our disposal. The perfect revealed will of God, His word, has the power to change one's life. Has the power to completely and dramatically shift in the direction one was going and convert them on the straight path, the narrow path, the righteous path. And in doing so, you're going to rejoice. In doing so, you're going to have this light that is going to guide you and guide your path. And as we talked about earlier with fear, the reverence towards God, it's going to endure forever. God's word is not something that gives you what you need just for a limited time. God's word gives you what you need to sustain yourself throughout the remainder of this life. God's word completely changes lives. And whenever we think about it, is there anything else that changes a life like God's word does? That completely converts one that was in sin, that was wrapped up and consumed by it, that was completely and constantly stressed or whatever the case may be in their life, and yet once they started adhering to God's word, taking it and applying it to their life, we see a peace in their life. It doesn't mean that they're not going to go through trials. No, God's word is clear and Jesus is clear throughout the New Testament. You will go through trials. Those trials are to make you stronger, but what God's word does is it helps you get through those trials. You can rejoice as Paul did, even though you go through the persecutions of this life. Yet, how many times do we look in other directions, look in other areas for wisdom to be able to get us through this life, or maybe it's the day, or give us a little spark, a little energy? We look for places other than God's word. We look at other books. We look for men's thoughts on how to do so. You need to recognize that nothing changes lives like God's word does. Completely changes lives. Look at the life of Paul. Now we get it. We recognize that Paul was a Jew, and so Paul was very zealous for God on that end, but he was wrong. Once he was shown the truth, once he was shown God's word, look how it changed his life. As he talks about in Philippians 3 prior to 7, he's talking about the fact that he had a position, he had power, he was zealous for God, so he thought. Yeah, once he was shown the truth and once he allowed God's word to be applied to his life, how that changed his life. He looked at those positions that he had as a Jew and said in verse 7, but what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. It completely changed Paul's life. It changed the direction he was headed, what he was doing, where he was going. And he started heading in a different direction, living for Christ, putting himself second, being zealous for Christ. Paul is the same one who wrote Romans 12:2, in which we read, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good, acceptable, perfect will of God. God's word is to be desired. Why? Because, simply put, it changes lives. It changed Paul's life. And through it, we're not conformed to this world anymore, but we are transformed through the renewing of our minds. How do we do that? By reading God's word. That's how it's done. We need to desire God's word and see the value that is in it. The fact that it can take one's life who is in a path, going down a path and wrapped up, consumed in sin. One who is not right with God. One who is not rejoicing. One who does not have that which endures forever. It is so powerful what God's Word can do for one's life. We need to desire it. Matthew 6:21, Jesus tells us and relays to us that we desire what we value. Tells us in verse 21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Do we really value God's Word? Do we really understand the value of God's Word? What it can do for one's life? Not only that, but where it comes from. It comes from God, the Creator of all things. If it comes from God and the Creator of all things, then that's going to be something that I should probably adhere to. It's going to be something that I should value, that I should want, that I should desire. If we did understand the value of it, it would definitely be something that we search for every moment of every day. Not only is God's Word to be desired, and that's something that David clearly lays out, the different things that it does to change one's life and how perfect it is compared to anything else that we can have materially, possession-wise, spiritually. But David also recognizes the need then to make application of God's Word to our life. See, what we can't do is sit here and be like those who are very intellectually knowledgeable. I don't know if I said that right, but that are intellectually knowledgeable. They know God's Word through and through, but they never make application to their life. There are those who might even know Scripture through and through, but they don't even believe that there is a God. Yet they know the stories of the Bible. If all we do is recognize what God is and this is His Word, but yet we don't make the application of His Word to our life, then it's meaningless. We will never see the power and value of God's Word. You only see the power and value of God's Word and the ability to change lives if you actually allow it to change your life by making application to your life. You must make the application of God's Word. You know, you think of Solomon, who asked for and prayed for wisdom. Solomon knew God's Word, an intellectual level, but he didn't make application to his life. And we see what his life ended up as. We see the different struggles he went through, even being the rich, wealthiest man that the Bible proclaims that he is, the knowledgeable man that he is. He never made application to his life. He never let God's Word guide and direct him. He never let God's Word change his life. He might have knew the words. He never let it change his life. And we see that from time to time in our life. Jay and I have some family members, and I'm sure other people do too, that know the Scriptures on an intellectual level. They can sit there and they can tell you stories of the Old Testament. They can quote verses from the New Testament. They never took that and made application to their life. And now they're no longer servants of the Lord. They're no longer Christians. They're no longer members of the Lord's body. In fact, some of them have even gone so far as to say, there is no God. Do they know God's Word? Well, they know the stories. They know what's in here. They never took that and made the application to their life. And it's very, very important that we understand that this is what must be done. It's something David understood must be done. Verse 11 to Psalm 19, it is through your word, moreover by them, your law, your words, that your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. I've quoted that one and gone back to that one multiple times because of the importance of it. Moreover, by them, your servant is warned. Well, God can be warning us all day long by telling us His words, but if we never make the application to our life, are we ever going to be and come to the understanding that David did, that I'm in error, that I need to be cleansed? You got to make application of God's Word to your life. It's extremely important that we do so. God's word provides warning and leads to great reward, but only if that's applied. You look at the story we see in Ezra chapter 10. The children of Israel, after a remnant had been allowed to return after captivity, we see that it's found out that they have married and that they're in relationships with pagan women. In relationships with women who God told them to not be in a relationship with. And in verse 10, Ezra, the priest, stood up and said to them, "You have transgressed and have taken pagan wives, adding to the guilt of Israel. Now therefore, make confession to the Lord to Lord God of your fathers, and do His will. Separate yourselves from the peoples of the land and from the pagan wives." Then all the assembly answered and said with a loud voice, "Yes, as you have said, we must do." We see a little bit later in verse 19. And they gave their promise that they would put away their wives, and being guilty, they presented a ram, the flock, as their trespass offering. Think of these people who were caught up in sin in the Old Testament. God told them, "You are not to marry pagan wives, you're not to marry foreign wives," and yet they did. And then it comes to their realization. They're told this from Ezra. "We have sinned, we're in wrong relationship." They could have gone one of two ways there. They were told what they had done wrong. They had told what God's law, what God's word had said. God's word had warned them. His word had told them, "You are in error, you are wrong, and you need to put these away, because if you don't, I'm not going to be with you." They were told this. And they could have gone one of two directions. They could have said, "Okay, taken the words, but not got rid of their pagan wives." Yet what did they do? They let God's word change them. And they came to an understanding and a realization that they were in error and they got rid of their wives. And as Scripture tells us later on in Ezra 10, it wasn't the fact that they just got rid of their wives, but any time that you have a marriage like that, you're going to have children. They put away their wives and their children because they were in error. And you think about that. You think about the impact that would have on one's life. You see, what we see here in this example are those who let God's word change them because they applied it to their life. They made application of God's word. Not them deciding, "You know what, I don't want to do that," and then changing God's word. They did what God's word told them to do. They realized that they were wrong, that they needed to be cleansed, that they needed to be made right. And the only way to do that, as Ezra told them, as God told them through Ezra, is to put away those pagan wives. That's exactly what they did. Made application. Changed their life. I'm sure most of us either ourselves are an example of this or have seen an example of this. That allowed God's word to impact it, to change their life. That allowed God's word to have the value and the power, or have the power that it has, and then allow that value to be seen. One of my really good friends within the last few years has really changed his life around. He's somebody that has grown up knowing the words of God, meaning he had been taught them, he knew the stories. Grew up in the church, knew the words through and through, as far as the Bible verses, the different stories. But he never really understood it, never really made application to his life until recently. And since, it's been a few years ago, when he started reading God's Word, and interestingly enough, it really started with him going through and reading Genesis. And getting a hold of Joshua Gertler's book and recognizing with beyond a shadow of doubt that God is and that this is His revealed will. And then in doing so and understanding that, he started reading it on a level to make application to his life. He saw the power and value that was in God's Word. And the more that he dove into it, the more that he read it, the more that he saw the power and value of it, and then the more he read it, and the more he saw the power and value, and the more he let it change his life. And today it is awesome because he is probably one of my only friends that in just about any conversation that we have, we could start off talking about sports, we can start off talking about work and business, we can start off talking about politics, and every single conversation that I can remember within the last year has ended at some point or another talking about spiritual things. Why? Because he has allowed the power and value that is God's Word to impact and to change his life. He has made the application to his life. It was no longer that he just knew the stories that's in God's Word. He saw them in a different light and allowed them to impact his life, change his life, making application to it. Again, going back to Romans 2:12, you have to let God's Word transform you. You can't transform God's Word. That's what my friend has done. And it's, I'm telling you, it's awesome to see whenever you see God's Word impacting someone's life like that. David recognized that he wanted, that he needed and wanted to be cleansed and innocent. The only way that that was going to happen, according to David, was by allowing God's Word to impact and to change his life. What I want us to understand, and what I want us to recognize, is that we have to make application of God's Word. So whenever God's Word tells us to abstain from every form of evil, as we see in 1 Thessalonians 5:22, and one does not guard their heart, as we see in Proverbs 4:23, and allows sexual images and thoughts to enter their mind and heart from a movie they watch, are they really making application of God's Word? Whenever God's Word tells us to abstain from every form of evil, and one does not adorn themselves with modest apparel, as we see in 1 Timothy 2:9, and wears clothing that reveals parts of the body that God calls nakedness, are we really applying God's Word? Or when God's Word tells us to abstain from every form of evil, and one does not heed God's Word to not look at the wine when it swirls, or when it's red and when it sparkles and swirls in Proverbs 23:31, and one drinks in any setting, whether that be a social setting, whether that be a party, when one drinks in any kind of setting, are they really applying the Word of God to their life? There are so many different number of things that we can go down and that we can think of on that list. Are you making application of God's Word? Are you recognizing that this is the Word of God, that it has the power to change your life, and then making application of it to your life? Or are you just reading it and then throwing it away? Or are you reading it and inserting your own ideas into it? See, this right here has the power to change your life. But not only that, it has the power to guide your life. It's going to lead to eternal life. It's going to lead to eternity in heaven. David recognized that this is done, that cleansing oneself and being innocent is done through God's revealed will. He shows us the way there. So I ask you, how is one able to do this, to be cleansed, to be blameless, to be innocent, as David is wanting to do? Is one able to do that when they will not let the Word of God direct their lives? When they don't make application of God's Word? David understood this. That is why we see him considered a man after God's own heart. Doesn't mean that David was perfect. He made mistakes in his life. But David was one that strove to do the will of God, that wanted to allow God's Word to impact his life. Question is, do you want to recognize and realize the power of God's Word? If you do, like David said, you need to desire it and you need to allow it to impact and to change your life. God's glory and power are evident in his creation. The power and value of God's revealed will, his law, is evident. We let it impact and guide our lives, as David did, so we can see the power and value behind it. You know, and David closes the psalm in verse 14 saying, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. A couple weeks ago, I preached a sermon on meditation. And that what we are to meditate on is the Word of God, as we see in Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do all according that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. The book of the law is not to depart from his mouth. That's what God told David. And he is to meditate in it day and night. We're to meditate in the Word of God. It's meditation of one's heart, as David said here. Meditation of one's heart. We become acceptable to God, and that's when we're meditating on God's Word. You know, a couple weeks ago, whenever I preached that sermon, I ended it with a challenge to you to meditate on God's Word and to start by just picking a small book of the Bible, pick an epistle, maybe go through and pick a couple of the Psalms that you want to read, that you want to get to know a little bit better. How are you doing with that? Have you done that? Are you reading God's Word, not just on a cursory level, but are you reading it on a level where you are meditating on it, thinking about it? What does God have to say to me? And then allowing that to impact your life. You know, Jeremiah 10:23, Jeremiah tells us, it's not the way of man who directs his steps, but it is God. He does it through his Word. You must understand the power and value that is in it and desire it. So I encourage you to make it a priority, to read God's Word, to find a book, to study it, to get to know it, meditate on it, and make the application of your life, because until you do this, the value of God's Word will never be realized in your life.